Almost, almost. Welcome home, everybody. With today being Palm Sunday, we have palm crosses for you in the foyer. The Coopers need morning help for Ben. If anyone can help, even here or there, please contact Becky or Bob. The deacons need some Blackstone grills are needed for sunrise service. If you have one that you could let us borrow, please contact Kyle. On Good Friday from noon to 5, the church will be open for Passion Walk. Visitors will immerse themselves in a self-paced time of reflection and prayer as they walk the final days and interactions of Jesus in a unique, tangible way. On Saturday, April 19th, a local Girl Scout troop is using the church parking lot as a donation drop-off spot for a few hours around lunch. This is our way of supporting the community. National Prayer Day is May 1st. There is a prayer meeting that evening on New Life Island at 6:30 p.m. Next Sunday, the sunrise service will be outside at the cross, weather permitting, at 7:30. Then breakfast at 8:30, and our Easter service is at 10 a.m. There is no family hour that day. Sheila, do you have an update for Easter Sunday practice?
Yes, I do. Thank you for asking, Mike.
No problem.
Next Saturday, dress rehearsal will be from 5 to 6. We will have the praise team rehearsing for Sunday morning since we have the breakfast. And then at 6 o'clock, the adult choir will rehearse from 6 to 6:30. And then the children will be here 6:30 to 7 working on their song. Thank you all for who are participating.
And join us for a Monday Thursday communion drama service at 7 p.m. on the evening of April 17th. Zach?
Thanks, Mike. So yes, just wanted to talk about the Monday Thursday service a little bit. It's a very powerful service, and we did this last year, so it's not as new to everyone where we're calling it Monday Thursday and things like that. We're getting it all right this year, but there's power in this service. It's so ground level. It's so real. It's those last hours with Jesus where, you know, we say welcome home here every morning. Well, they were welcomed home to one of his followers, him included. And that can be any one of us. Sometimes we're like Matthew, who was the evilest of evils, according to the world that day. But he followed Jesus, and he decided to make that choice when given to him to follow. Sometimes we're like Jude, who grew up with Jesus, who was a relative of Jesus, who heard it all along. But that doesn't mean then when we come to that moment to make that decision that we don't need to think, are we going to choose Jesus? Sometimes in our lives, some we see are like Judas, who knew everything, who knew the facts, who supported Jesus, who worked for him, but when that awful moment came, made the wrong decision. If we make that wrong decision in our lives, we're betraying him just the same. That can be any one of us. So I really encourage you to come Thursday night to feel that, to experience that. Invite others. We're going to be serving communion with the disciples. We're going to have some great music, a dramatic reenactment of the Last Supper, very powerful, that can answer that question. Were you there? Were we there when they crucified our Lord? Thank you.
Well, Hosanna, everyone. Good morning. Am I on? Can you hear me? Well, if you have the back of your bulletin, we have the reading. We also will be projecting it. We're going to do for our reading this morning. And again, these are the crosses that you can take with you. But let's stand together. We're going to do the reading for Palm Sunday. standing here holding a palm, and I can't think of it. Okay, here we go. When Jesus the King suffered for our sins, they struck him, saying, that doesn't seem to be the correct reading. Can I borrow someone's bulletin? Thank you. All right, here we go. When Jesus the King presented himself in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, you can look at the back of your bulletin to follow along. He was fulfilling what was spoken through the prophets. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt. And the people spread branches and cloaks on the road. Let us take up our palms today and proclaim. This is where we all say, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Jesus Christ is our reigning King. Blessed. When Jesus the King suffered for our sin, they struck him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews, and placed a sign on his cross. But death did not keep him in the grave, for on that glad Sunday morning he rose again with resurrection power over our sin. Let us take up our cross today and proclaim, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, Jesus Christ, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. When Jesus the King presented himself alive after his resurrection, he spoke during the 40 days to his disciples of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. They asked if it was time to restore the kingdom, but Christ instead instructed them to go into the world and preach the gospel. We are reminded that his message is to save the world. Let us take up our gospel today and proclaim, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Did you notice that? I changed from my palm to my cross to my Bible because we are witnessing of him. And then when Jesus the King returns from heaven, there will be a loud command, the voice of an archangel with the trump call of God. And then the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive and still waiting will be caught up with him in the air to fulfill his judgment plan and set up his millennial kingdom. Let us take up our encouragement today and proclaim, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Jesus Christ is our returning King. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Turn to you.
When we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, are washed away.
Be seated. There are a couple things that I really quickly, we're going to do a time of, as we do every month, and this is going to be our time of God sightings. I'm going to ask Patrick if he would put that up, and what you're going to see is a few of the God sightings that I had, and some other people have sent me, and you can read those as that scrolls around. It's also going to remind us of our church verses of abiding in the Lord. I have a thank you from Barry Miller. Says, my name is Barry Mueller. I am Audrey Nelson's cousin. I want to thank the Blanket Ministry for your thoughtful gift, which I received during my time of convalescence. Audrey told me that you've been praying for me continually, and by God's good grace, I'm recovering. My doctor actually diagnosed my condition and placed me on a new medication, which has had a substantial impact on my recovery. Audrey informed me that Eileen Rimmer is the person who makes these blankets, and I want to extend a special thanks to Eileen for her compassion and remarkable handiwork, such a blessing to everyone touched by this ministry. So, as a result of my improvement, my doctor agreed to allow me and my wife to return to Florida for the remainder of the spring. We will be spending our time in warm sunshine rather than the chill of early spring in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, of course. Again, thanks for your thoughtfulness and concerns from our Lord's blessing. And that was, again, Audrey's cousin. I want to share that with you. Many of you are getting ready for our prayer week, and if you don't know what that is, we have for the last probably 4 years, we've dedicated ourselves to pray in the old Moravian tradition of a 24/7, 24-hour prayer week time. And so people signed up, and out in the foyer on that black table near the fireplace, people signed up to be a part of that. And when they signed up, they took an hour at a time. And so we have out there in that basket folders that look like this. So if you signed up for a prayer time, I want to remind you, please, please, please pick up your folder. Inside the folder is everything that you will need for the prayer. And you can follow along, and it's a thick packet, about yo thick. And it will provide you, because people have said to me, well, I've never prayed for an hour. I don't know what's going to happen, you know. Trust me, you can't get through all this material if you pray. And it will be a wonderful time. It really will. And if you are interested, I made extra packets. So if you truly are interested in attempting the prayer, even though you didn't sign up, and you would like this packet material, go ahead and take. And just let me know if we run out and if you need more. The picture that's up there, my men's Bible study on Saturday mornings, Jason Quintel was back from Rhode Island. And he taught our group the Romans Road so that we could be witnesses. And I'm telling you, my face was smiling like a Cheshire cat. Brother Mark's over there going, why are you smiling like that, Pastor? I'm sitting there going, because this is my God sighting, you know, to see God's men learning to share God's word. I mean, it was just absolutely wonderful for me. And so whether you are sharing a God sighting at this time or not, we're going to get the mics out, and I want to invite you. This is a moment where you can just say, this is how God has been helping. So does anybody have a God sighting that you want to share? Anybody at all?
Hi, I'm not standing. I'm an introvert, extrovert. I'm good one-on-one, but I get paranoid. I just wanted to say last week was a very low day for me last Sunday. I had the opportunity to talk to pastor's wife, Lori, bless you. And it was kind of interesting because I ended up in the ER that day and thinking, like, could my day get any worse? But I had an amazing God moment. The boy that was wheeling me to get my CAT scan, I said one thing about somebody was having a medical emergency. It came up the overhead that they needed life support for this person. And I said, boy, I hope they know the Lord. And that opened up the door for him and I to have about a half an hour conversation about God. And he is a new Christian. And he was in my room for like 20 minutes talking to me after the CAT scan. And I said, you're going to get in trouble. But it was the most incredible boost to me. And I said, man, the Lord, like, so quickly turned my day around and my week around. And I had the opportunity to spend time with Karen at the laundromat for 3 hours. long story. But it was just an incredible week. And I love you all so much, and I'm so blessed to be a part of this family. So
love
thank
you. Too,
you.
Lynn. Yep. Anybody else? All the way back, the Cron family. Josie's back, and she's got her foot up, and we're glad for that.
I have a couple of them. One, as far as Josie goes, on our way out to Cleveland, Monday morning we had to get up and be at the hospital at 5:30, and there was a ton of black ice, but we did not know that. And so we took off down the highway, because it's all highways where you travel in Ohio. And so I took off down the highway going 60 miles an hour, you know, and came up around this turn, and I looked on my little MapQuest thing, you know, I put it on the guide GPS thing or whatever to tell me how to get there. And it said yellow and red, and there's no one on the road. And I'm like, well, where's all the traffic coming from? I don't understand. And as I went around the turn, the back of my car started to fishtail. And I realized why it was yellow and red at that point. And apparently, my little GPS does that and tells me where all the icy spots are, which was pretty cool, which were like the whole way to the clinic for 35 minutes. And about every mile or so, there were police cars, a car that was wrecked on the side of the road, up on all the overheads. There were you know, lights everywhere. And I said to my dad, I was like, I really hope we get there in one piece, because even going then, you know, 25, 30 miles an hour down the highway to get there safely, we were still, it was still ice all around and people flying and people flying past me as I'm going. And I'm, as they're driving past, I'm going, please, Lord, don't let them hit me. You know, tractor trailers all over the place. So thankfully we made it there in one piece. And she did great and she's still doing great. So we're really thankful for that. So that's God sighting number one. God sighting number two is going to pop up on your screen here in a little bit, and I don't think Pastor really knows this, but there's a picture up there of a bunch of kids all around with Pastor, and we were here for co-op a couple weeks ago, and the kids were inside. There it is. The kids were inside, and they spotted him outside, and all of them were like, hey, it's Pastor outside, and we were like, oh, yeah, so it is, and they go, we're going to go say hi. And so they ran outside and they sat out there and chatted with him for like 10 minutes. And it all just, we all just loved it. And it was so great. And it was just it was just encouraging for them. It was encouraging, I'm sure, for you, Pastor. And, you know, co-op's just been really great here and it's growing, which is really cool. It's neat to see how the Lord's using it and what's happening there. And just all around, just a blessing.
It was a real joy to even talk with those kids. And what was really funny was that when I said, well, anybody want to help me? That's when the group broke up, you know. They all went, oh, we got to go now. So, yeah, but that was a joy. Thank you for that. Anybody else? God sighting.
Dad, I have one. So for most of you that know, Josh's sister, Katie, lost her baby.
Right.
She was born prematurely, and she passed away a week later. And although it was a time spent with a lot of tears and a lot of grief, it was a very special blessing to be able to visit and see Katie yesterday for the first time since it had happened. And obviously they have a long road ahead of them for recovery, but it was just such a blessing to spend time with her and to grieve with her a little bit. And so that was our little God sighting.
Thanks.
This past week, my mom was hospitalized for bleeding in her bowel, and it appears that it was diagnosed as ulcerative colitis. But that's the God sighting, is the wonderful, most caring nurses to be surrounding her during her hospital stay. And it's just a blessing to see that. She's still in there, just trying to get the swelling under control. But the other God blessing, or God sighting, is Joanne. We've been praying for little Lizzie. And she said the same thing, that the nurses and the people surrounding her were just so good and comforting. So that was just a blessing to hear. And all our church family praying for my mom, for Lizzie, for all of us. It is a blessing that this church cares so much about each other. Seeing Josie here, what a blessing. Seeing Marge here, her bright smiling face, these are just God sightings. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Lisa. Right up here. Could you talk in the mic so we could hear you?
Would you like to hear one recent, or would you like to hear one from about 12 years ago?
Whatever you want to hear.
Okay. My dad was dying of cancer. He died in 2007. And, you know, the whole thing was, his whole thing was, he was always searching, but he very much questioning, and he believed that the New Testament, the Old Testament was historical and true, but the New Testament was full of fairy tales. That whole thing with Jesus and the apostles is a fairy tale. And years, 20 years or more, he kept asking, three of us in the family knew the Lord stuff. Well, about the Lord, and my sibling and her husband would give scriptures, but Dad complained about that. Didn't really answer his questions, you know. But he didn't have that, I guess. God didn't speak to him in that. Anyway, with Dad, I did have a good talk with him once using a track. It was called God's Love, the Father's Love Letter to You. And I used all scriptures, but it demonstrated Jesus and God's love and forgiveness of sins and all that. And he taught me when I was a kid. He would tell us, he was very much, you know, Old Testament, Old Covenant, you know, obey those Ten Commandments, okay, that even if you stole or took a pencil from your job, you stole. That's a mm-hmm. sin, you know.
Yep.
So I used that with him, too. Remember that, Dad? Ta-da. Because he had this pride issue going on. Anyway, long story short, he's dying of cancer. We didn't have any affirmative word whether he accepted the Lord yet or not. And there were a few things. But the one I had was after he passed away, I was at Peace Valley Park, and I prayed, Lord, I saw what looked like an eagle go across the lake. And then I prayed to the Lord, saying, Lord, if that's really an eagle, may I see its yellow feet, its yellow bill, even its yellow eyes. And the things across the lake, you know. And then I forgot about the prayer. And I took a walk, and up on the dam, I'm looking down the length of the lake, and I hear a rustle above me, and I look up, and I must have been 3 feet above me was the eagle.
Right.
And he looked down at me, and I looked up at him, and we had eye contact. So when does that happen?
Right, exactly.
That was
exactly.
Major big
So that's
song.
God's way of saying, hey, I got you covered. Eagle's wings. Yep.
We had other things, too, that, you know, the others were believing it, but I was with them most, and they say the one that's closest always has the hardest time. So anyway, the Lord reassured me. Thank God.
Thank you.
Saved them.
Thank you. Back behind you. Anyone else? Anybody else?
I got one, Pastor.
Where you at?
I'm right here. Over here.
Okay.
So I just keep seeing our church growing. I keep seeing new people walk in, whether it's Brian or Dan or all these new faces. And, you know, our church growing, our family's growing. And I think that's just a God sighting showing that we're, you know, this place is a great place to be. And people keep coming and they keep coming back. So
amen.
It's great to see.
Amen. I got another God sighting over here. This is going to be our last one, sweetie.
Okay. So Friday night was our CEF gala, and we're driving down to King of Prussia, and Corvin says to me, you packed my tie, right? And I was like, I forgot. And so we pull into the hotel, and I said, well, right there is the King of Prussia Mall. We could just run over there and get it. And if you're familiar with the King of Prussia Mall, you don't just run over and get something. You literally run through the mall to get to where you need to go.
10 miles.
Which was felt like two football fields, you know, and like I was there early to help. And here I am, like, we're power walking through the King of Prussia Mall to get to any store that isn't like $100 or more for a tie. And so we're chugging along, and I just have like t-shirts and jeans, and I thought, I'll change later. And Corvin had his Walk Through Faith sweatshirt on from church here. And mine said, Jesus is strong. It was one of my Good News Club shirts. And this young guy was in a suit walking a dog. And he looked right at me and he goes, I like your shirt. And I went, me? And he's like, yeah. So we stopped and we started talking to each other, and I forget who said what, but we asked him if he was a believer, and he said, yes, I moved from New York City down here to King of Prussia area, and he was just telling us his story and how he's looking for a church that preaches the Bible, and I said, well, hey, if you're not busy, come across the street to our fundraiser gala, But that was really cool. So then we get to Macy's. We get a tie, 60% off. Thank you, Jesus. The lady that checked us out was like, oh, I love your shirts. And we're like, are you a believer? She's like, yes. And then we're like, we don't even know how to find our way back out from where we came. And she's like, I'll show you. So it was just cool. I felt like if we ever want a street witness, we'll just all go to the mall down there and wear, you know, t-shirts that have scripture on it, because people, I guess, stop you. So we were pleasantly surprised.
And we were very surprised, because we thought, you know, you're kind of citified, and you know, most city people push back when they see things about the Lord. We were just blown out of the water that we had these people. We love Jesus. Look at your shirt, you know. Again, keep your heart open for God sightings. They're always happening. And I'm giving you a challenge for those of you for praying. Remember to pray. Keep your prayer times. We were going to give this just to the prayer people. And if you've already been back to your box, you probably got these last week. But I'm giving these to everybody here who wants them. It's called The Emotions of Easter. It's an 8-day devotional starting today, going to next week. And I want to give you these. So if you want these, as you're picking up your palm cross out there, they're next to the palm crosses. So pick these up, please. And I challenge you to be in this devotional this week. And just thank the Lord for his goodness. And if you read this, you're gonna have a God sighting of your own. Trust me. You're going to have a God sighting of your own. If you're going through Easter time wondering how to be ready for Easter, do that. And also, just one more little add. Because we've never done this before, that's why I'm going to double emphasize it. Instead of the traditional come for a Good Friday service to hear Pastor preach, praise the Lord, you don't have to hear me preach at all. This is what I said to Audrey when Audrey was explaining what we're doing for Good Friday. I said, oh, so this is scratch and sniff, because it's interactive. From noon to 5 o'clock, you'll come in that front door. There'll be a greeter there. They're going to give you this devotional. They're going to head you up the hallway. And starting back on this, there's going to be 7 stations all around the sanctuary. And as you come in, the first station, you're going to read. You're just going to do this yourself. You don't have to do it with anybody. You just do it yourself. And you'll read the scripture, and you'll read the devotional, and there's a something at the table that it asks you to do, and you'll do that. Like pick up the nail or put the ribbon on the cross or whatever it's going to ask you to do, light a camp, you know, do a light. There's going to be different things at each station. And if you want to sit down a moment and pray, you can sit down a moment and pray. But you can go all the way around. You can spend as much time as you want. If you want to do it for an hour, you can do it for an hour. If you want to do it twice, you can go around twice. If you want to do it for 5 minutes, you can do it for 5 minutes. Nobody's going to stop you. But it is a very impactful way to be ready for Easter. So I want you to know that is going to be open on Friday. And also, if you hadn't seen, the children are doing the Easter egg hunt Friday afternoon out back here. So they're going to be doing that out back. So if you're coming to the Easter egg hunt, you can just walk right around and come in and do the Easter Good Friday service. We've never done that before, and I hope you enjoy it. All right? All right. So we need to keep moving in our service this morning, so let's continue our worship.
Would you please stand if you're able? Holy, holy.
I need to say, you are the love song we'll sing forever. Bowing before you, blessing your name. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praise is honor and glory be unto
you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. John 16:33.
Praise the Lord.
day when the face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul.
Children are dismissed for children's church and choir practice.
Huh, I wonder what's going to happen next. Oh man, I tell you, I'm ready to go. I'm all packed up, ready for my journey this Passion Week for Easter. And man, I think I overpacked it. When we went to Israel in 2017, this was my backpack. And I remember we were running the streets. The guy kept us moving. I felt so sorry for especially the elderly folks who couldn't walk very fast. The guy wouldn't give us a chance to even sit down. He was constantly, hey, Zelza, because he couldn't pronounce seltzer. Hey, Zelza, he'd say. He kept saying, come on up here, and we're going to the next place. And I started walking along the back of the group to keep everybody going. And because I was like, boy, he doesn't keep us all together. You know, when we go into the Easter this year, I how do you prepare? Are you prepared to go into Easter this year? And I was thinking a little bit about this, and as we've been talking about abiding, I'd like us to take our Bibles, and I'd like us to open up to John 16. And in John 16, we're going to see that the Lord was getting his disciples prepared for Easter. He was getting them prepared for the emotional roller coaster that was going to take place with everything that they were going through. John 16, as you remember, let's go back a little bit. Go back to verse 1 of chapter 14. Chapter 14, they left the upper room, and as they're walking up, what we've been calling the abiding discourse in chapter 15 is actually the last discourse that Jesus had with his believers. And they're walking along, and he says these words, and you know these words, we hear them at a funeral all the time. Let not your what? Heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. Now turn to verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, I give it to you. Let not your what? Heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then we've been preaching through the abiding passage, so you know what the passage is about. Abiding is staying closer, staying cleaner, staying connected, and living as if Christ is your best friend really is what abiding is all about. Living the abiding life with the Lord is in chapter 15. And then we got to chapter 16, and we've been talking about in the last few days and few weeks about how important it's needful that we abide, because Jesus was talking to them in chapter 16 about some things that they were going to face. And I want you to see that these things are going to be difficult for them. Look at verse 16 of chapter 16. He says, in a little while, and you will not see me. And again, in a little while, you will see me because I go to the Father. Now, some of the disciples, verse 17, they said amongst themselves, wait, what's this that he's saying to us? What's he talking about? What's going on? What is this thing that he's saying to us, in a little while and you will see me, and again in a little while and you will not see me because I go to the Father? And then they said, what is this that he's saying, a little while, and we don't know what he's saying. We don't understand what he's talking about. Look at verse 19. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, so they're standing in the grapes. They're working their way up to what is called the Garden of Gethsemane. And they're about to get their assignments, because we know from other scriptures that James, Peter, and John would go with Jesus further into the garden to pray with him. And they would fall asleep, remember? But the others were to stay at the entrance of this garden, and it was probably filled with grapevines and olive trees. And they were to watch. Remember, he says, watch, watch, don't be tempted, but watch. What were they watching for? I'm sure they were asking themselves, what are we watching for? But we know that their hearts were troubled. We know that they're not understanding what's going on. And a lot of times, we as believers, we carry around at Easter time our backpack just full of stuff. And I want you to see what, this is my emotional backpack, incidentally. We all got them. Some of them are really light. Mine's really heavy. And I gotta open this thing up and show you that I got a lot of emotional stuff going on in my troubled heart right now. Let not my emotional backpack heart be troubled. Yeah, I believe in God. What? I opened the wrong zipper. Hey, my wife is probably looking at me like she's really scared I'm going to pull dirty underwear or something out of here. I just want you to know my mama raised me right. Never air your dirty laundry in front of public. So that's not going to happen. But let's see. I remembered to pack a songbook. This is an old songbook. I remembered to pack Pilgrim's Progress because it's about a pilgrim journeying. I remembered to pack my journal. So as I pray and as I write things down and clip things out of books and devotions, so I can record all my emotional feelings. Whoa. Nothing more than feeling. Anybody remember that song from the 70s? But I did, yeah. I you got to be prepared for these journeys. You know, I'm walking by faith, not by sight. This was to remind me to keep rejoicing in the Lord today because it's Palm Sunday. A piece of pavement, a brick, stones. Because we don't realize this, but our hearts are troubled because we carry a lot of emotional turmoil. And, that's why I brought the icy hot. That helps with the pain. But, look, do you think I overpacked? What I think Jesus is going to do right now in John 16 is he is going to do two things. He's going to help his disciples unpack their emotional heart. And I would like us to do the same thing. Because when we go through what Easter is about, we're going to touch on a whole bunch of emotions. We're going to be touching on a whole bunch of different things that are happening. And we're going to look, first of all, at this principle of unburdening or turning our emotions. What do I mean by that? Look at chapter 16, verse 6. But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your what? Heart. The word heart there isn't mean the blood pumping organ that's in your body. It's talking about our emotions. Let not your hearts be troubled. The word troubled back in chapter 14 is the idea of agitation. Your heart is like in a wringer, squeezer, washer, if you remember those things. And then look at verse 20. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament. You're going to have grief. You're going to have sorrow as some of the emotional turmoil that you're going to go through. When you think about what was taking place during the Passion Week, there's a whole lot of emotions going on. I mean, they just experienced rejoicing, right? I think I got that in my emotional backpack. Hang on a minute. Yeah, I packed a whole bunch of feelings into this message. If you didn't see what that was, it's just a bunch of eggs for Easter. Same feelings. And we sing sometimes. Do you know why music is so important? Music is connected to our emotions, and it has a lot of sway on our emotions. So sometimes while we're singing and we're walking along in life's way, we sing. Ah, that's what I was looking for. The emotions of rejoicing and happiness and excitement. These are the things that we don't mind unpacking out of our emotional backpack. We like to do it right away. Why? Because the God who loves us so much tells us that he rejoices over us. In fact, Zephaniah 3:17 says, he will delight in you with blessings and gladness. With his love, he will calm your fears. He will delight over you with joyful song. Psalm 34:18 says, he heals the brokenhearted. He sets the captive free. And remember, Jesus is getting them ready for the events of the cross and what's going on. And notice back in verse 20, he says to them, most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to what? Joy. Now, in the abiding life, we've already learned that when you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, who lives inside your life? The Holy Spirit. And we already know that when we abide closer to the Lord, that it gives us increased love and joy. The first two, if you go into the book of Galatians, you read about the fruits of the Spirit. And God gives us those two things. But you know what's missing is the third fruit of the Spirit. Even though he's saying that there's going to be a moment here where you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. You know what? Through all my preparation, that's what I'm looking for. I want to make it clear to us what is the definition of emotion. Those instinctive or intuitive feelings, as distinguished from our reasoning, because that's how we think. And knowledge, that's what we know. That's all mind. You got that. The things that we reason, the things that we choose, the things that we think all have to do with our mind, all right? But we're talking about the instinctive, intuitive feelings that we experience that are real and affect our moods, our sentiments, and our dispositions. This is the definition that Jamie Mitchell, who wrote the devotional that I would like you to make sure you take, because I got a lot of them out there. And he takes us through the emotions of Easter too. But one of the things that I've learned over the years about emotions is simply this. Emotions are thermometers. Emotions are thermometers. What do I mean by that? Emotions will tell you what the temperature of your heart is. Just like you have a thermometer for if your kids have a fever and you got to find out what their temperature is, you get that from the thermometer. Well, emotions are the same way for you and me. We get our temperature of our heart, our soul, our affections comes through our emotions. But you know, thermometers are not thermostats, right? But you know, the way God designed you is that when you have emotions coming out of you, they come out of you because of things outside of you affecting you, like happenstance. When Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. He was talking about the events, the circumstances, and the things from outside of them that were happening. And if you could take a thermometer to your heart, the disciples' hearts were going way up in sorrow, going way up in confusion, going way up in doubt. And they were feeling emotions. And a thermometer, your emotions are like a thermometer. You just can see the temperature rising and falling in your heart. When you're happy, you know, maybe the turmoil is lower in your heart. When you're full of fear and anger, maybe the emotions are way up there at the top of the thermometer. But emotions are not thermostats. Now, in our house, we have a thermostat. And, you know, Lori says to me quite regularly, what's the temperature in here? And I have to admit that I like the temperature a lot cooler. Or no, the other way around. I like the temperature a lot hotter than she likes. And so she'll say, go check the thermostat because we need a change in the temperature. And so I go to that thermostat and I change the thermostat. And what happens, the temperature will now change. So what did Jesus say to these disciples? Something I want you to catch in verse 20. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. How does that happen? How does God take our emotions that are out there all over the place and turn them to joy? Now, before I answer that question, I want to kind of cover some of the emotions that we go through that I happen to make sure I had with me today. I hate when people go, how you feeling? Have you ever seen this? This is the feeling color wheel. I'm emotionally stunted as a guy. The only two feelings that I can identify are I'm frustrated and angry. Okay, guys, you relate? I mean, they seem to be the only two emotions other than I'm really happy. Guys are really emotionally sound. My wife, she assures me that she, when the guy who made this was in Sherwin-Williams paint store, you know, because I'm colorblind and I always use my colorblindness as an excuse not to go match colors. And, you know, Lori's like, you got to stop using your colorblindness as an excuse. The only colors emotionally I seem to get are frustrated, anger, and happy. And I don't get all this shade stuff. I really don't get that. But you know, I just praise God that some of you are a little more sensitive and you're not spiritually colorblind. And when it comes to understanding and seeing the thermometer of emotions rising in your life, I just had to turn. Oh yeah, I love this. A reminder: what do you do when that emotional temperature goes all over the place? Well, you don't stuff it. You don't stuff your emotions. You don't ignore your emotions. You know, I remember one time. This is a true story. I was in a counseling session in Texas, Sagemont, Texas, and the person said to me, why are you angry at God? And I replied back, I am not angry at God. Whoa. Guess what? Yeah. You know, we do the same thing, don't we? Our emotions are so weird. They're all over the place. And the other thing is you don't overshare. You know, some people are like fuzzy blankets and they're always sharing. You know, they're always sharing, oh, la, 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 you know, and they overdo it with the emotions. But, you know, some people, you know, they talk about their feelings about this and that, and, you know, and it really gets frustrating. And you know, sometimes you wish you had the hot pack to kind of throw on them because of their emotion. And then you're pulling out a first aid kit because their emotions, you know, they don't know how to handle them. Don't over talk your emotions sometimes. You know, the Bible tells us that a fool shares all of his heart. So you got to be balanced there. So how do you what are some of the emotions that the disciples were going through at Easter time? Name some emotions, and I'll see if I got them in my backpack here. Okay, I heard fear and confusion. Guess what? I have fear in my backpack. Yeah, that's true. Fear and emotion. You know what's interesting about fear and regret? Regret are the things that we, what if? What if I had? Doubt. Doubt also is one that's in here. Do I have doubt? Yeah, I think I do. Yes, I do. I got doubt, you know. I doubt that the Lord has something for me and I'm going through difficulty. And do you think the disciples were feeling doubt in the garden and around this time when he said, is your heart? Well, yeah, they do not understand what Jesus is talking about. And he's talking about dying. And do you think they had fear of what was going on? They were, you know, fear's problem is you can't control that. You ever notice that? Some of us are fearful about what other people will think. You can't control that. Some people are fearful about something happening to us. You can't control that either. The problem when fear overwhelms you is because you lack trust and belief in God, who does control things. I'm not saying that if you're really, really spiritual, you'll never feel that fear, because it's a thermometer. We all feel it. What are some other emotions out there? What? Sadness? Oh, my goodness. Grief and sadness and despair and loneliness. Yeah, we all feel that sorrow, you know, because of things that are happening in our lives. What are some other emotions did they have? Think about the story of Easter. What were some of the emotions? Confusion. Let's see if I got confusion. Well, this come close. Stress, craziness, overwhelming, confusion, yeah. When were they feeling that? Well, can you imagine what Peter was feeling when he was saying, you know, I'm not going to deny you. All these other guys are going to run away, but I'm never going to deny you. And he's standing there, and somebody asks him, are you a disciple? And no. You know, and then all of a sudden, yeah, I think you are a disciple. You seem like, he breaks out with this one, anger, remember? Anger, I am not a disciple of Jesus. It's not me. You know, and think about that anger that came out. You know, again, the emotions are like thermometers. They're flying all over the place. They're telling on our hearts. So what are some other, think about the story of Easter. What are some of the other things? Loneliness. What are some of the other things? Hopelessness. Uncertainty. Hopelessness. Have you ever been to a point in your life where everything just felt so hopeless? I mean, that's what all these things were happening. There's, you know, the gentleman that was the counselor who went asked me that question about being, why are you angry at God? I'm not angry at God. I have faith in God. I remember saying that to him. His name was Dixon Murrah. And you know what he said to me? And I have it taped right here. It says, you can't heal what you can't feel. And in that moment, I realized that I can't let God heal and help me emotionally until I identified and I was square and I was upfront with what I was feeling. Whenever you do that, make sure that you have a counselor or a safe person, somebody like Jesus that you can share those things with, because you don't want to be hurt more. But let me share with you, let's go back to this verse in John 16, verse 20. He says, but it will be turned into joy. The Greek word there for turning means to come into a reality and a being. What is it that turns our emotions is the thermostat So what is the thermostat? The thermostat is the renewing of your mind with truth and fact. You know, somebody says, well, I feel so guilty. I have a loved one who died, and I just feel so guilty. I feel like I said things that I shouldn't have said. I feel like, you know, there is true guilt. True guilt comes when you know by conviction that you did something wrong in your heart. False guilt comes along. I think the enemy uses that on us all the time. False guilt is trying to take the blame for something that you didn't do. And that's where the what ifs come in from. But what turns that? What is the thermostat that turns that? The thermostat is the truth of God's word upon my heart turns my emotion and dials it. And it turns sorrow into what, according to this verse? Joy. Sorrow into joy. And that's what we want the Lord to do in our lives. So how do we do that? How do we keep our emotions from mastering us? Well, you take them to the master. And you let him master your heart. Now, I want to bring us up to the context of this. Look at verse 25. These things I've spoken to you in a figurative language, Jesus was saying. And kind of like Pastor is this morning, I'm using figurative language to talk about our emotional backpack and our emotions. I'm using figurative language. And he says, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in a figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. And he's going to tell them that he's going to die for them. And his disciples in verse 29 say, see, now you're speaking plainly and you're using no figure of speech. Verse 30, now we are sure that you know all things. We're sure you're the Son of God and have no need that anyone should question you. But this we believe that you come forth from God. And Jesus says to them, do you now believe? I can see it. He's going, you're getting it. You're getting it. Look at verse 32. Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each one to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because my Father is with me. And then I love these verses. And in this verse, verse 33, are the three steps that help you master your emotions. It's the thermostat that dials the temperature of your heart to the right temperature. And here are the three steps. The first one is a promise. What God uses, his word, when you prayerfully go to God in his word with your emotional state, wherever the temperature's telling you you're at, I'm fearful, I'm lonely, I'm angry. Incidentally, anger has emotion under it. I learned this, and this was very helpful for me. When Jonah was angry at God for saving the people of Nineveh, God says to Jonah, why are you angry? And Jonah says, because I knew you were a God of repentance and forgiveness, and you were going to forgive these people. Underneath your anger, I want you to check this out. Underneath your anger is two secondary emotions. The cause of your anger is either sorrow and loss. Sorrow and loss, and I'm stumping. And fear and sadness. Fear. Thanks, hon. It's either what's making you angry is either something that you've lost or something that you fear because you're out of control. And when you're going, the thermostat of God's word is bringing the control back, not to you, but to him. Okay? So look at what Jesus says in verse 33. These things I've spoken to you that in me, where's the thermostat control? In me, in Jesus. In me, that you may have what? Peace. I love that. Peace is the emotion that we've hardly talked about. In fact, I even packed it in my backpack. peace. Peace, goodness, love, peace, self-control. Remember the fruits of the Spirit? Do you know, peace is the absence of enmity, the absence of warring between you and another person. When we have vertical peace, that's peace with God. That comes when our sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. We have peace with God, it says in Romans 5, through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace that we have horizontally with other people, that peace comes from God's peace, from the Holy Spirit. And when we pray and we say, Lord, I don't have peace stabilizing my heart. The Old Testament, they called it shalom. The ultimate healing, the ultimate health was shalom, peace for your heart. The ultimate peace, in fact, the Old Testament kind of makes it sound like that when we get to heaven, we will be, you know how people say rest in peace? When you get to heaven, you'll finally be at peace. What are we at peace from? We're at peace from all the strife and the sin and everything that fills this world with us. You know, and the assurance is that we have peace with God. We go to be with God and we get the ultimate peace and the ultimate shalom when we see Jesus face to face. And we lose the sinful self and all the sin and everything that we've been carrying in our backpack all our lives. And we get to throw it all out and we have this stableness in our life. But in the meantime, we've got to carry peace in our backpack emotionally, because that's what stabilizes the temperature of your emotion. And you get that when you pray. You get that when you look to him. You know, it's interesting that he talks about prayer again in this passage. Just glance your eyes up to verse 22. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, your emotions will rejoice, and your joy no one can take away from you. And in that day, you will ask me, you've asked me nothing, but most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. So, Lord, I need you to take the thermostat of my heart, because my temperature emotions are all over the place. They're up there. They're full of anger, or they're real cold and lonely. It's telling me that I'm all messed up inside. I've got sorrow, Lord, and I need you to turn it to joy. I need you to piece it out. I need you to stabilize this thing out. And only you can do that, Holy Spirit, because remember, he's talking about giving us the Holy Spirit. Remember 16 verse 5? I go away and I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, the helper, the counselor, who's going to help you, because he brings peace. And back to that verse, verse 24, until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive it, that your joy might be full. So how do you let Christ master your emotions? You pray for peace. You pray for the peace. But that's hard to do. I don't always do it. Yeah, that's true. We sang, and I love the song, It Is Well With My Soul. The story of that is that Horatio B. Spafford was a businessman out of Chicago, and he was sending his family ahead of him to London, and they were on a ship called the Ville d'Avre, and it was a French vessel, and this is about the 1800s, 1890s, and they went ahead in the Atlantic Ocean, and they sunk, and when his wife heard the call to the lifeboat, she grabbed her children and started praying as she was taking her kids to the lifeboats. They didn't make the last lifeboat. She was found, Mrs. Spafford was found floating among the wreckage, but all four of her children drowned. Someone in a lifeboat that had already launched pulled her into the lifeboat. When she got to England a few days later, she telegrammed her husband back in Chicago two words, saved alone. He got onto a vessel and he booked passage to London to go to see his wife. And think, again, this isn't like an easy 8-hour flight. This is months, you know, weeks. He got onto a ship and he happened to be up on deck, and the one of the cabin crew said, or one of the sailors said,
This is about where your ship went down. This is where your daughter died. And he was looking over at the turmoil of the water, and he wrote those words, when peace, what peace? The peace, the emotional peace, the stability. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll. He's looking at the waves where his kids drowned. Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, because he prayed in his heart, Lord, give me peace. It is well. It is well with my soul. The first way to let Christ master your emotions is to have that promise of peace that he gives you. He promises it to give to you, but you got to ask him for it. Here's the second way to master your emotion, the prediction of victory. In the King James, the verse is turned around, but in other translations and in the Greek, this comes next. Jesus says, I promise you, in me you will have peace. I have overcome the world. I have already overcome with victory. I've already won the battle. That is why we can trust him for the peace. I love the idea of what Christ does for us in promising this peace. But then he gives this little final third thing. So how do we master our emotions? Number one, you have to claim the promise of peace. Holy Spirit gives it to you. You've got to remember, no matter what you're going through, you're going to win. Not because if you try hard enough, you'll make it, but because Christ is going to win the battle. Think about that in the context. He's going to, in 3 days, arise. So as you're going through the emotional turmoil in your heart this week, he's going to arise. But I love this next part, the passionate prompt that he gives us. He says two words. In the King James, it's take heart. Or be of good cheer. And what he's trying to tell us is he's telling us, I'm not just trying to give you a little pep talk here for yourself, but I'm putting air in the tire of your life. I'm filling you up. I love the other translations. In some of the other translations, in Philip's translation, it says, be braver because I've already won. In the NIV, somebody have the NIV? Why don't you read it for me? Somebody have an NIV Bible in front of you? I want you to read it right out.
I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
I've overcome. Take heart, I've overcome. Lynn, do you have the Amplified? Look that up for me, John 16:33, Amplified. There are other translations, and I don't know which translations you say, but there's a translation that says be brave. There's a translation that says take heart. There's a translation that says be of good cheer. The whole idea here is to put vitamin C in your heart. The whole idea here is to prompt you. All of a sudden, the disciples are saying, we believe you. We believe you're the Son of God. We believe everything you're saying to us. And that's going to help us through this sorrow. You're going to turn, you promised to turn our hearts. You're going to promise it with your peace that's going to sustain us. You have victory, even though we don't see the victory right now. And so we're going to take encouragement. It's almost like an infusion of encouragement. So go ahead and read, the whole thing, verse 33. He's deprived it of power to harm you. Who's he given the power to? You. Us. You know, I've been using this idea of a backpack. And what I want to do is kind of close the illustration by challenging you and pulling you to think about taking this emotional backpack that you got overstuffed. Man, putting this all back together is going to be a nightmare for me. But if you could get that video ready, I want to challenge you to go to the cross this morning. And what I'm going to show you is a closing segment about taking your emotional backpack to the cross. Go ahead, Patrick.
To God. Like everyone else, you carry a backpack as you go through life. In your backpack are the regrets, guilt, and shame that you accumulate. And since your grief is already an uphill climb on your life's journey, you don't want unnecessary weight in your backpack. But how can you unburden yourself from these regrets, guilt, and shame?
First, you need to remind yourself that not all of the thoughts, desires, or behaviors that you regret are things that God actually disapproves of. You might need to rethink some of your regrets and not hold yourself to a higher standard than God does.
And then there are all the other regrets about anger, greed, arrogance, lust, and so on. What do you do about them? These self-centered desires and thoughts and the resulting behaviors are wrong in God's eyes. They are what the Bible calls sins. Here are two important truths about your sins. First, sinful thoughts and behaviors make handling grief more difficult. For example, bitterness can create a barrier between you and other people who could help you deal with loneliness.
Second, sins are more than inconvenient. We are all sinners because on our own, everyone ignores or rebels against God. Our sin separates us from God and places us in need of a pardon that only He can provide.
But the good news is that God has provided a way to remove this burden of guilt by forgiving all your sins. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross in the place of people like us. Jesus, who was sinless, took upon Himself the condemnation our sins deserve.
But that's not the end of the story. 3 days after He died, Jesus rose from the dead. And if you believe Jesus died in your place to pay the penalty for all your sins and acknowledge His right to direct your life, you will receive God's pardon for everything you've done wrong. Jesus takes your backpack of guilt and shame, and your new, lighter backpack is full of Jesus' righteousness. So God considers you to be perfect in His sight.
But there's so much more. God's pardon sets you on a new path to experience the deepest levels of healing and comfort possible. And it also lays the foundation for the unshakable hope of enjoying God's presence for all eternity.
If you're already a Christian, whenever you are burdened by feelings of guilt, reflect upon the fact that Christ has suffered the penalty for all your sin and given you a righteous standing.
But if you've never placed your faith in Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, to receive God's pardon, you can pray a prayer like this. God, I know I'm a sinner. For too long, I've ignored or rejected You. I need Your forgiveness for all my sins. Please forgive me and help me live the life You desire for me. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Bible says, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. You receive forgiveness of your sins and eternal life with God. The next step is to talk to your Grief Share Ministry team leaders or the pastor of this church about what is involved in growing in a relationship with God. They'll be excited to give you the guidance you'll need.
Thanks, Patrick.
So I want you to come to the cross this morning. One cross, three nails, forgiven. If there are three people I'm talking to this morning. Number one, maybe you're carrying a backpack in your life and it's full of guilt and shame and despair, and you've never put your faith and your trust in Christ. The story of Pilgrim's Progress is about a pilgrim who took his backpack to the cross, and when he was there, he, in just like what we saw on the video, he laid down before the cross his sin, and he found forgiveness in Christ's righteousness. So if you're here this morning and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, I want to encourage you to make that decision. That would be the best Easter decision that you can make. For the rest of us, maybe we've already been there, and we've overstuffed our backpack with a whole bunch of stuff, and we're making our journey through Easter, and I want to challenge you to pray. Some of you, as I've been telling you to be praying, up until this time, there are things you haven't received, Jesus says, because you haven't prayed for them. What do you need to pray? What is the temperature of your heart telling you you need to pray for this week? And what do you need to lay out before the cross and unburden yourself before the cross? Maybe there's something in your life that has you in sorrow, or something in your life that has you angry, or something in your life that has you lonely or frustrated. And what you need to do today is you need to take that this week to the cross, so that when we meet back there for sunrise service, you're not carrying that backpack anymore. For some of you, you're abiding and you're rejoicing today. When you came in, you didn't have the backpack of doubt or worry or fear. You just had the joy there because things are really peaceful right now. And praise the Lord for that. But I still want to encourage you that the moments that you think you've got it, everything figured out, this week your emotions are going to be on a roller coaster. And I want you to grab that devotional and make a commitment to take and read the devotional, because you need the thermostat of God's word to help you get through this week, so that when you are attacked by fear or anger or depression or loneliness, that you can open the word of God, you can taste and see that he is good. Thy word have I hid in my heart, then I might not sin against thee. And I want you to make the commitment that I am going to take that devotional before I go out those doors, and I'm going to keep the thermostat of God's word right here on my heart. Would you do that this morning? So, Father, we praise you, we thank you, and we just give you the glory for all that you're doing in our hearts and lives. Lord, thank you for the verse that says that you've basically, be of good cheer. Don't be fearful. Don't be angry any longer. I've given you peace. Lord, I claim that promise this morning. I pray that people will claim that promise this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would give us that peace and begin to turn, just like the disciples, the things of our emotions, our sorrows. Don't let them master us, but we bring them to you, Jesus, our master, now, so that you can take them in our lives and you can help us as we journey through this week for you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.
Please stand if you're able.
I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. yes, yes, Lord, amen. But you did not abandon, struck down but not destroyed. I'm blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure, and joy's gonna be my strength. Though sorrow may last for a night, his joy comes in the morning. I'm trading my sorrow, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. You can do this. Yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Make an L. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Amen. Do you get that? Yes, Lord, make an L. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes. Hey, you're not clapping. You're not raising your hands. You can do that. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Amen. Yes, yes, Lord, amen. So, Father, we do thank you, and we say yes to you today. No to our sin and our emotional frustrations, and we just lay them down at the cross. Father, give us a good week as we go through this week. We journey with you. You even tell us to come unto you that you will make our burdens lighter. So, Father, we want to not leave here today without making our burdens lighter as we, by faith, lay these things before you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. You're dismissed. Yeah, we don't let you out.